From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
From time to time on our show, we've explored various partnerships between academics and industry, and in fact, it wasn't that long ago that Chancellor Mone introduced us to the initiative known as the Connected System Institute. It's a way of looking at ways in which data can be collected and used more effectively. We want to discuss that a little bit further today. Joining me, as he does every month, is Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Good to have you back.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
And our special guest joining us via Skype is Brad Smith, president of Microsoft. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
In addition to all of his work with Microsoft, Brad has a new book out called Tools and Weapons, The Promise and Peril of the Digital Age. And got the book last week. I've really enjoyed digging in. And Brad, hopefully we can talk a little bit about that as well.
Terrific.
So broadly speaking, I'd like to maybe, Mark, ask you this question first of all. How did UWM and Microsoft come together on this partnership?
Well, it's a great story. Thanks for asking, Dave. You know, what's fascinating is I've had some opportunity to bring some friends from Rockwell Automation on the show before, and we've talked about Connected Systems Institute. But the other key partner, aside from Rockwell Automation, is Microsoft. It all goes back to some initial discussions with the CEOs of both those organizations, both, as it turns out, happen to be alum of UW-Milwaukee with Satya Nadella as the CEO and chairman of Microsoft. And then with him bringing Brad to the table, it's just really worked out powerfully well. But the concept at the time, Rockwell wanted to have individuals who knew much more about connectivity, the Internet of Things, and where they saw individuals coming out in accounting or supply chain or name the major. But then it took them a year or more to understand how connected the business was and the supply chain. And then at the same time, I was having the conversation with Satya in Seattle about with the manufacturing base that you have in the Midwest, and in particular with the relationships with a lot of manufacturing firms, this could be a niche. And with what the cloud could bring in terms of the whole Azure platform and a lot of the things that are critical to connected systems, he said, this is really an important connection. And enter Brad Smith, who with his terrific Wisconsin roots, this just made an awful lot of sense. And then we'll talk more about Brad's, I think, important contributions to technology education at high school and rural locations. And this has just been a wonderful flywheel to develop the relationship with Brad and Microsoft.
So, Brad, I know that Microsoft has long been a leader in technology and inspiring innovation. How do you see Microsoft connecting on this type of project?
Well, we've been delighted to partner with UWM on this. In part, it springs, as Mark mentioned, from some of the interpersonal connections. The fact, as he said, that Satya got his computer science master's degree at UWM. It's really the first place he came when he came to the United States from India, having gotten his undergraduate degree there. I grew up in Wisconsin. Kathleen Hogan, our chief people officer, grew up in Wauwatosa. But what has really excited us is where UWM and the Connected Systems Institute are going and what we think that means for the future of manufacturing. Of course, Wisconsin has this incredibly important and innovative history when you think about manufacturing, and a company like Rockwell Automation embodies that today, and they're an important customer of ours. But we see this next wave of innovation around connected computing, around small devices, the so-called Internet of Things, as something that is going to not just redefine, but reinvent manufacturing around the world. We think Wisconsin and the upper Midwest more generally have an opportunity to play a real leadership role, not just for the next few years, but for the next several decades. And we see what is happening at UWM as really being at the forefront of this. It's at the forefront of the education and research side, but it's also at the forefront of partnerships with leading businesses and industries in making all this happen. So we've jumped in. We've made an important financial contribution, more than $1 million. But I think more than the money, we're bringing our technology, access to our Azure cloud services, our hardware devices, and access to our people and technical expertise. We think that there's an opportunity to combine what is happening at the university with what is happening at Milwaukee-based businesses and what is happening with technology, including technology from Microsoft, to do something that will be important for the whole region and for the whole state.
Brad, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago that industry did its own thing, academia did its own thing, and they rarely talked. And now it seems like this initiative and many others are kind of bringing that together. Why? You said, for example, that we're going to redefine manufacturing with this initiative. Can you talk a little bit about why that's important at this time in our history?
Well, if you think about where manufacturing is going, it is about technology-based manufacturing that uses data to make manufacturing more efficient, more productive, and really break through with new manufacturing approaches. The manufacturing floor, the floor of the factory, so to speak, is likely to look considerably different a decade from now, especially if you compare it to, say, the way it looked a decade ago. It's things as simple as more data that will tell manufacturers what maintenance is needed, what is likely to break before it's actually broken, but to things that go much farther in terms of changing the nature of manufacturing machinery, and in fact, equipping manufacturers with data that is likely to be a very valuable asset. They may use that data themselves to offer new services to their customers. And so in this world where, in effect, artificial intelligence and data are coming together, I think there is an opportunity to really put the competitive forces of the great Milwaukee and Wisconsin-based companies to work. So whether you're talking about Rockwell Automation or Johnson Controls, JCI, or any host of a number of other companies, large and small, we're just going to see a future that looks different from the recent past. I think it'll look brighter than the recent past. But it will take, I think, a key partnership with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee to help spread knowledge and advance the frontiers of knowledge to make all this happen.
So, Mark, take us from where we are today to the vision that Brad is sharing with us. What takes place between now and then?
I think it's a great question. And, you know, I'll break things into how we're approaching this partnership in three buckets. We talk about talent as really the first bucket. And that talent is students that are coming out, as I mentioned earlier, into a workplace where, as you know, many of UWM students already work an awful lot. They've got a great work ethic and they're battle-tested, as I like to say. But through this type of industry and university partnership, they're getting exposure to the types of connections, the types of technology, the types of tools that Brad has just articulated. But at the same time, there's the talent in existing workforces. And I think the latest estimate that I've seen is that in the United States today, if not globally, at least half of current workers are technologically obsolete in some way, shape, or form. So there needs to be this reskilling, or some call it upskilling, of individuals. And we think that the Connected Systems Institute is a really powerful part of that. So one of the things in terms of taking us into the future and the vision is how do we scale? How do we put those modules online, look at certificates, and really put things together in stackable, learnable modules that are real-time skills that you need now? So there's that talent component. That's one bucket. A second bucket is changing the way industry works, enabling them to have more tools. A great example of that is that I was with the president of Komatsu this morning, and they make some of the biggest mining manufacturing. They manufacture the biggest mining equipment in the world. I mean, it's just amazing how large these equipment pieces are, and they do a lot of work in Latin America, a lot of work in the Canadian mines. And as you look at this equipment, one of the things we were talking about is how much of the work is actually manufacturing and how much is the intelligent management of mines, or the intelligent part of it. And we broke that down, and what's fascinating to me is if you look at companies like a Komatsu or a Caterpillar or some of the other large industrial manufacturers, that increasingly is the growth part of the market. It's one thing to have the equipment, but that's the word that the president used this morning was it enables us to have the business. It's what changes how we're interacting with our customers. And I see this in company after company, whether it's the GEs or the Johnson Controls or the Harley Davidsons. It's that connected either the product or the service or how we manufacture it. So there's a lot of companies that are using what they call dark factories, very few individuals because of the automation. But where does that data go? How do you manage that? The use of sensors. So the second bucket then is how we change processes, products, and services, whether in terms of how we make it or how we deliver the product or how our product actually becomes a very different entity. Then the third component is the research and really advancing the knowledge of machine learning, of AI, of cybersecurity, of advancing the issues in advance of things for good, as the tools and weapon metaphor, the tool side, or the weapons that can sometimes be weaponized and used against us. So how do you have the prophylactic? How do you have that defense? Knowing technology, well, research and advancing that as a tier one research university that University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is with our other academic and industry partners, helping solve the problems that are in place today. So that, to me, is the trifecta, that three-part partnership, working with companies like Microsoft that appreciate and value and know that's the future. We've got to work on this together because we don't have the answers without industry, but industry benefits a lot from the R&D and the sheer intelligence and, frankly, the future of their talent pipeline to help change that. So it really is a great partnership.
Brad, that almost sounds too simple. From your perspective and when you talk to the leaders of other manufacturing companies and other companies around the country, are there any obstacles to getting to that point?
Well, it's like a lot of things in life. The theory is straightforward, and I think Mark presented it in a way that is both completely accurate and highly compelling. The execution is easier said than done. Each of these individual pieces takes a lot of work. I think that there's two pieces of work that are perhaps most notable. One is it's about bringing people together from different sectors of the economy and even different intellectual disciplines. This is a multidisciplinary effort, and you need to have great computer scientists, great data scientists, great engineers, whether it's mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, or other engineering fields. Actually, other aspects of the liberal arts as well, especially when we're thinking about how artificial intelligence is reshaping something like manufacturing. So that's one thing. The second thing is it really is asking all of us as individuals to consider a change in mindset, if you will. If you look at the first half of the 20th century, there is one invention that above all reshaped the economy. It was the combustion engine. It's what made it possible to have a car, a truck, a tractor, an airplane, and of course it was fueled by oil, gasoline. The next three decades will fundamentally, I believe, be about artificial intelligence. AI will reshape manufacturing and every part of the economy. It will be fueled by data. And while it is important, as Mark noted, to start with, say, the youngest generation, the people who are in school and universities, so they acquire the skills needed to succeed, to really prosper with these new jobs of the future, it's actually a challenge for all of us. All of our jobs are going to change. We're all going to need to learn new things. And so when you connect, the need to bring together people from so many different disciplines and open all of our minds to the need to learn more, to go back to school figuratively, even if not literally, you see that this is easier to describe than to make real.
Mark, I'm going to ask you both this question, but Mark, from your perspective as the leader of a public university, what are the ethical considerations or challenges that these type of relationships pose?
I think there's the substantive ethical issues in terms of the use of data and how we can actually apply these tools. There's also the issues that you run into in terms of just the relationship itself around intellectual property, the types of issues around ownership and developing products and services And that's something where, as we are working with, for example, Northwestern Mutual, Marquette University, and UWM together with the Northwestern Mutual Data Science Institute, that's some of the areas where we've spent a lot of our time on the legal front, as well as the practical front, looking at some of the issues that, while there's contracts and legal, a lot of it comes down to the ethics of why are we doing this together and how every party ought to benefit from that. So that's kind of on the relationship side, and working through a lot of those details is important. I think on the actual product and the application, this is where I'm really pleased to see Brad's book, because he's raising those types of questions. This is not just because we can do it, should we do it, but raising those more important questions about how and where, what are the limits, and how do we safeguard? How do we use policy and legal frameworks, and in the context of having a democracy where privacy is so important, and it is in America, United States particularly, but it's not used that way so much around the world. So you really run into major ethical issues when you start talking about the trade-offs with use of technology for reasons that can be very positive. So last night I'm listening to a blog, and it's around the use of a new Adobe tool that has, we talked about this a little before the interview, the voice recognition that can change completely, not just voice recognition, but also the gestures. So you can have, the example used is Jennifer Aniston can be giving a commercial here in America for a certain product, but then she can be transfigured her face and voice to deliver the same message in Chinese and Mandarin. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty scary because that's a commercial application. But the ethics of that and how that can be misused, that's an example of some of the types of issues you can run into. And so it's a whole new world. As much I completely agree with Brad about the next several decades being shaped by this, and it's transformative. But beware of the adverse use of these tools that can become weaponized.
So I want to talk a little bit about that. Let's remind everybody that you're listening to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM. My guest in conversation, Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And we're also joined by Brad Smith, President of Microsoft. So, Brad, this is actually a theme that's also in your book, which is called Tools and Weapons, The Promise and the Peril of the Digital Age. And you've actually thought quite a bit about how some of this artificial intelligence and how some of these new types of ventures can be used or misused. Can you frame that up for us in the context of the conversation we're having today of linking industry to the world of academia?
Sure. I think that it really raises two aspects, and Mark touched upon each of them. The first is to just reflect on the fact that in the long course of the history of humanity, we are the first generation of people, all of us alive today, who for the first time are endowing machines with the capability to make decisions that have always been made by humans. And so fundamentally, we have to decide as a generation of people, what types of decisions do we want machines to make? How do we want machines to make these decisions? And one of the things that Carol Ann Brown, my co-author, and I highlight in our book is that this is not a decision just for a bunch of engineers or people in tech companies or even universities to make. This is a decision that needs to involve everybody. It's why one of the stories we share in our book is the conversation we had earlier this year at the Vatican with Pope Francis. The world's great religions and philosophers have a role to play in addressing this as well. It needs to be guided by a clear set of ethical principles. We at Microsoft have identified six that we're working to implement and operationalize across our company, things like ensuring that there's not bias, that it's inclusive of all peoples, that we protect security and privacy and safety, and that fundamentally we have transparency for the public and we ensure that machines remain accountable to people. But there's a lot of complexity, which is why you then realize that this isn't just about writing a paper and having people read about it. It's about implementing it in the connected systems, this world of connected devices that the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is pursuing. And then that, of course, takes you to the second dimension. It is about partnerships. It is about universities that can work with businesses and can work with governments and nonprofit organizations. And I think the key there, I've always found this to be the case, is it's about people coming from different places, having clear roles, if you will, and respecting each other's roles. I don't think any company, large or small, should go into a partnership with the university with some expectation that by donating money, the university is suddenly or ever going to do everything the company wants. That's not the university's role. The role of any university, and most especially a public university, is to serve the public good. In the case of the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, or any other University of Wisconsin institution, it's to serve the people of Wisconsin. But by respecting each other's roles and appreciating each other's strengths and differences, we can work together in a way that truly enables us to accomplish something collectively that none of us could ever accomplish on our own. And I believe that that is fundamentally what UWM's Connected Systems Institute is all about.
Mark, it does, though, kind of speak to the complexity of this kind of an initiative and the responsibility that a university has. Because, as Brad said, it's not up to one institution to lead this discussion, but yet it is a very important part of the leadership role that a university has to take.
I couldn't agree more. I agree with Dave, your question, but also where Brad is going with this. And I think the concept, and this goes back to your first question, if we think about the vision and what we can do together, this is overly simplistic, but 2 + 2 is going to be more than 5, the way this is working right now, where we bring together a consortia of companies. And through this consortium, we've got a lot of players, a lot of participants. And in there becomes some interesting questions, obviously complex because you have utilities, you have manufacturing companies, you have service providers, you've got a number of different folks that all have a coalescence around manufacturing. And that's really what we're looking at, is the industrial Internet of Things and the different tools. And there's a number of different providers in there. So companies like an Ansys or companies like, you know, Microsoft and Rockwell and others who come together, and it's through the bundling and putting these tools together in powerful ways with specific applications toward a variety of different companies that we really learn a lot from each other. And as a public university, as we create knowledge, as we conduct research, we disseminate it through our classroom activities, through labs, through specific applications in industry. And in particular, in southeastern Wisconsin, where we have this incredible concentration of company headquarters, but also a lot of manufacturing sites, and we are the second largest manufacturer in terms of employment per capita in the United States, this really makes an awful lot of sense. But that's where the power comes from. And I think the important part of this relationship is in all that we bring to this, using, for example, the Microsoft talents, where individuals have come in and conducted workshops, where there's the Microsoft tools, where there's others who benefit from those, talk about their experiences, their test cases, as we're building the facilities, having the test beds that show this material real time, so you can simulate factories, you can simulate production processes. You can also bring in the human component, and that's what if I could, you know, talk about what Brad mentioned and what he and Carol Ann talk about in the book, is that the changing, the transformation of the mindset, that change that's so critically right. important. It's not just the tools, it's how we use them, and it's the acceptance and adoption. So you're really getting into organizational change, communication, and then you start talking about the ethical issues and platforms that open up whole new worlds in terms of products and services.
So, Brad, I want to talk to you about one of the concepts in your book that I found absolutely intriguing, and that was, you know, it took us a while as society to become comfortable, it seems, with the whole idea of storing data in the cloud and cloud computing. And of course, more or less, we've all gotten used to that now. But now there seems to be a growing fear about how the government can watch over us and the data that's being collected on all of us and how that can be used against us. That's a big theme of your book. I'd love you to just talk a little bit about that, because it seems to me that not necessarily just this initiative, but as Microsoft goes forward and other companies go forward, that's a very big consideration, is it not?
It absolutely is. The last decade, the decade that is going to end in a matter of weeks now, has seen an absolute explosion in digital data. The world will enter January 1, 2020, with literally 25 times as much digital data on the planet as it did on January 1, 2010. It's typically stored in the cloud, which really means in huge data centers. We all live our lives constantly accessing it, whether it's on a laptop or something that we use at work or as a student or on our phone in our everyday lives. What it means is that we're able to benefit from the use of this data. It's a tool in so many things that we do, but there is an enormous amount of information stored about each of us. And it is sobering to think about how any tool can be turned into a weapon. That's one of the points we make. You can use a broom to sweep the floor or hit somebody over the head. And in the wrong hands, a government can access this data, especially an authoritarian government in parts of the world where democracy doesn't prevail. Companies can use this data. Companies can use the data on each of us individually to advertise or market to us. If there's a security leak, if there's a hack, it's suddenly a case of our information, you know, being put out in the open the way we may not want. And more broadly, all of this data in a world of social media is being used in new ways, whether it's a disinformation campaign launched by a foreign government. We've seen the Russian government do this repeatedly now in the United States and other countries. And we're just seeing a new culture, if you will, to some degree a culture of distraction, as we may be too tempted to look at our phones rather than the person we're having dinner with across the table. So our lives and our world are being reshaped, and it's not all to the good. We have to acknowledge and grapple with the problems as well as take advantage of the opportunities.
Well, as I said, I've really enjoyed reading your book, but I have to tell you, I wasn't necessarily expecting the president of Microsoft to be championing these kinds of theories and cautions.
It is unusual for a tech company to be out talking about the challenges that technology is creating for the world, but I think it's what we need to do. You know, those of us who create this technology know more about it, arguably, than anybody else. These are our products, after all. And when you live in a world where it's having these ripple effects, I fundamentally believe the tech sector will serve itself best for the long term if it does acknowledge these problems, if it does address them head on, and if it does take steps to be part of the solution and not just look the other way when there are problems. So one of the things we're hoping to spark with our book, among many other things, is the kind of conversations among the general public and with people who set policy, but also in the tech sector. We need people to be thinking more broadly as we enter this new decade.
Well, listen, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. This has been a fascinating conversation. I hope we can do this again at some point in the future. And as I say, Brad, I could talk about your book for a really long time because I think it is absolutely fascinating. So thank you for joining us as well today. My guests in conversation, Brad Smith, president of Microsoft, and Mark Mone, chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mone, chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.